Good morning. It's hard for me to say good morning on a drippy morning like this, but it's probably good. It's good to see you all here. And I want to welcome you, whether you're a child, a woman, a man, a young adult, an old grandpa or grandma. Everyone is welcome. And do you know, every one of you has a job to do this morning. When we worship, everyone brings a gift and an offering. So it's important that you're here. It wouldn't be the same if you weren't here. So welcome to you. If you have an announcement to make, would you come forward now and make it?
Zion's annual adult retreat is this coming weekend. Some of you have signed up already, but please sign up today if you would like to go. If you've never gone, this is a good year for you to start coming. And first-timers can go for the weekend for $20, and others will pay $40. So make a decision quickly today and sign up. If you have questions, you can either let Stan or I know, and we'll try to get you in touch with Kelsey as well and Luke.
I received an email from Pregnancy Care Center reminding me that this Sunday is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday, and I just think it's important to acknowledge that Sanctity of Human Life extends beyond the birth of babies, and fortunately Pregnancy Care Center believes in supporting parents and nurturing parents, which then nurtures their children. They are in need. There's a notice in the bulletin about their need for diapers and wipes, and that's an ongoing need. And one of the things I wanted to just share with you a little to think about is helping these parents with diapers and wipes helps them to not have to make a choice between whether they're going to buy diapers or food, and also allows those children to participate in early childhood education. And there are other reasons as well. There's a notice up on the bulletin that tells you more, but I just wanted to share with you some of the background of that request. Thank you.
There's been an announcement in the bulletin about information night on Thursday at Baker Prairie Middle School at 6:30 in Canby. And we have two lawyers coming, and they come and explain in detail what people need to know about the changes that have happened to immigration law in the last year. And it'll both be in Spanish and English. And I happen to know the lawyer pretty good that's going to talk to the English-speaking group that comes. Very knowledgeable, very passionate about his work and care for the immigrant community. And he feels it's really important that we know, as a community that supports our neighbors who deal with immigration issues, to be aware of what's going on. They'll be answering. There'll be time for questions, and he can answer your questions. But it'll be a good format for you to learn more about what's going on with present-day immigration issues and how it's really changed since the present administration in Washington, D.C. is there. And so it's a good time to come and ask questions and be there to support our Latino community who's dealing with a lot of, being really oppressed by some of the things that have changed in the last year. So please come. There'll be a lot of information out there, and we have hopefully a good group coming. So come. It's Thursday. It's Bridging Cultures event, and it's Thursday at 6:30, Baker Prairie.
Good morning. There's a new ministry coming to Zion, and you can read a little more about this on Stephen Ministry. So please look at that today. Leadership has affirmed me to go for the training, which is 6 days of training in February. And when I get back, I'm going to be recruiting and selecting and training members to be Stephen ministers. So read about it. I'm excited. This is a way to use our gifting to reach the community and also to help ourselves in times of crisis, grief, illness, unemployment, financial stress, many of those things people are dealing with, and God can use us to minister. Thank you.
I'm here simply to repeat the offer that's been in the bulletin in previous months, not today, about possibility of a membership class at this time that we're discerning just what membership means and how we approach it and if we renew it. But also, if you are interested in knowing, if you're not a member and want to know more about Zion Mennonite Church, about the basic Christian faith, about the Mennonite Anabaptist angle on that, please talk with me and we'll see about getting some sort of class going. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, each of you that brought an announcement for the work that you do and for taking care of that particular business. I would like to read for a call to worship from the 15th chapter of Genesis. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Fear not, Abram. I am your shield. Your reward shall be very great. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me? For I continue childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold, thou hast given me no offspring, and a slave born in my house will be my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, This man will not be your heir. Your own son will be your heir. And he brought him outside, and he said to him, Look toward the heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them. Then he said to him, So shall your descendants be. And he believed the Lord, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness. Now, why would I read that passage in light of the teachings that Matthew has started and will continue for a few weeks about the body of Christ and what it means to be a member of the body? It's because in the Old Testament, the only way you could become one of the people of God was to be born into it. Think about that. If you weren't born a Jew, you weren't one of the people of God, and you were often an enemy to the people of God. That's the perspective of the Old Testament. That changed with Jesus. We all memorize this verse, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. The world. There's nothing about being born into a particular tribe or community. The world. The world is open to be and become the body of Christ. And yet, even though we know this, we inadvertently inherit and build walls. Not necessarily physical walls, but mental, heart walls. When I was a kid, I was a Mennonite in Indian Cove, Idaho, and I really sort of believed that if your last name wasn't Landis, Hamilton, Hooley, Miller, Schenck, Kaufman or Snyder, you weren't in the family of God. That's a shame. That's really sad. The good news is everybody qualifies. You don't have to be born into it. Shall we sing?
Good morning. Please stand and join in singing number 69. 69.
The Lord is King, oh, praise His name, for all the earth His praise proclaim, from age to age.
Turn over in your green book, sing the journey to number 3. Turn to number 72. 172. Karen will play this one through once.
Good morning. It's so good to see all of you. Just a minute, Jack. We're going to keep this back here for right now, okay? You hold on that way. I want to show you a picture, and I want you to tell me what you think it is. What is that? A church. Some of you are saying it's a church. Now, what do you think about that church? Is it missing something?
No. Yeah, the cross.
It's got the cross. What do you think is missing about that church? What do you think? It needs some people.
Okay.
And what?
Benches.
And some benches. Well, but look, can anybody get into this church? It needs some doors. Doors? How about some windows? Some windows and some doors? Okay, let's make some doors on it. And we can make some windows. How do those windows look, Mia? They look okay? Okay. Okay, so we got some doors and some windows, but now somebody already said there's something else that's really important that we've missed. What is it? The people. So Jack is my helper. Yeah, Jack is my helper, and he's going to have this board here that has a hand on it. So the hand is going to represent people in our church. Now, on the back is what is a little blue thing. It's called sticky tack. It's not gum, okay? So leave it there because it's going to stick on our church. So everybody come and pick from Jack, pick a hand, and put the hand on the church wherever you want. You want that one? Okay. And once you get your hand done on the church, you can sit back down. You get it, Olive? Nice job. Over here, Olive.
Push it really hard.
Oh, I'll put it on the top. Oh, hi.
you want, Levi. There you go.
All the hands on the turf.
It's crowded.
Okay, yeah, it's crowded. So once you get done, go back to your seat so that others can do it.
Did
it fall down? So, a church is more than just a building, right?
I want more.
You want to get the rest of them up?
I want to put up more than one.
Yeah, I think we got it. We're good. We've got the church pretty well covered there. Yeah, so, the church is more than just this building. We need the building because it keeps us dry and keeps us warm, and it's a place for us to meet. You want to put that one up quick, Olive, and then we'll be all done.
I want this one.
Which one? Whoops. Here, you know what? Just put it down here.
This one.
Okay.
I think that's enough.
Okay, that's good. Sit down. Sit down. We're good. But look out there. Look at all those people. Would Zion Church be the same if those people were not here? It wouldn't work that way, would it? It wouldn't be church, because people are what make church. And God loves each of you for the things that each of you do and how unique each of you are. But we have to be part of church, too, and how different we are. And some of us at church can help at church by singing songs. Some of us that don't sing can do other things like doing children's story. Some people help clean the church. Some people are greeters and they welcome people. So everybody at church is a very, very important part of who God wants us to be. And God loves us as part of a church, and God loves us because each of us are different too. So let's bow our heads for a minute. Dear God, thank you so much for the people in our church family. Help us to use our hands and our hearts and the gifts that you've given us to build up your church. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, you can go back. Thank you, Jack, for helping.
Church Olympics. It's good. There's a message there. You can't even see the building because of the people. That reminds me of the thing we used to do when we were children. This is the church. This is the steeple. Open the door and see all the people. The theme of the message this morning will be from 1 Corinthians. The words that I read might be slightly different, and we didn't necessarily match translations, but the message will be the same. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews, Greeks, slaves, free, and all were made to drink of one Spirit. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. You, we. Matthew, would you come?
Let's see if this is on now. Since I am speaking in this series about church. I want to speak sort of from the church, as the church, again, as I did last week, rather than simply to the church. And if I forget anything like I did last week, I will just trust that God is giving us what we need to hear. So this is the second in my series on speaking on the church, but the church in relationship to Jesus Christ. As part of our discernment time over the next 2 months about membership, and if finally membership is what kind of covenant it is, and if it's something that we should renew regularly. And again, if that's not what we decide, I hope this is still a profitable time and exercise for us. I'd like to begin this message with a brief language lesson. And I don't expect you to remember this particular word in the Jula language of West Africa, because I really doubt that you'll have much opportunity to use it, but I want you to remember the point that it makes. So, kids especially, I need your help. The name in English for that little flying bug with a stinger on one end with yellow and black color, and it goes from flower to flower collecting pollen in order to make honey. Someone help me. What do we call that in English? A bumblebee, or even let's just say bee. Just bee, okay? Is there anything in that word bee that tells you anything about bees, how they relate to each other, or what they do? If you were just learning English and you heard the word bee, would you immediately know what that was? Probably not. You might even mistake it for the verb to be. Okay? Now, in Jula, the word for bee is, and you don't need to remember this, but it's lidang, or plural would be lidang. And that literally translates to honey children. Okay, does that help you understand? Does that immediately bring anything to mind about bees, how they relate and what they do? You know, you get from that the sense that they're children. You know, that means like they're siblings. And they are, because they're all birthed from the same queen bee. And their togetherness has something to do with honey, making it and eating it. Sweet. Yeah, and sweet too, yeah. Jula does that an awful lot. For example, the word for my neighbors literally translates as my sit-togethers, the people with whom we're placed together. Or two words for family, my home people. Or the other one is my extended offspringness. And that sort of relates the family to not only the newest generation, the children, but their children and the generations to come. Now, if I took the time, I could probably think of a few compound words that do the same thing in English, but I'm pretty sure that Jula does that a lot more than English does. And that reflects the fact that in the Jula culture, you just sort of grow up learning to look at things in relation to other things. You're constantly making those connections. You just think about people and things like bees and other bugs in that sense. And so the proverbs show it too. Like one proverb that says, has anyone ever seen guinea fowl? Guinea hens? One proverb says, every guinea hen sees the back of another guinea hen's head. You know, they all run in lines together. You hardly see a single one, but that they're running together in lines. Or another one is, one finger alone cannot pick up a stick. Try it sometime. So it's full of proverbs like, oh, my favorite one is, other people's hands carried us into this world, and other people's hands will carry us out. So just as we cannot birth ourselves into the beginning of our lives, we can't bury ourselves at the end of our lives. So if we can't do those things at the beginning and the end of our lives, why would we think that all throughout the middle we can do it on our own? So that's what the Jula language and the culture is like. You know, and there are proverbs in English kind of like that. Many hands make light work. Or it takes a village. Well, whoops, we stole that one from Africa too. But in English, what I hear more of, especially today, is things like, you do you. Or, you know, which has some validity, okay? That song, that hit song in the late 1960s, I Gotta Be Me, I don't think it would have been a big hit song in the Jula-speaking world. So does that give you a sense for the difference between those two cultures and those two ways of looking at the world? Our Western world, which tends to look at things and people in their distinction and their differences and their separateness, and the Jula world that tends to lump things together to see them in their connections and their communities. Now, I'm not saying that one way of looking at the world is always and automatically better than the other or superior to it. You know, when Don and Kelly and I were in Burkina Faso last November, and we met Christians who had been kicked out of their homes and communities for their new faith, that tells you that, yeah, that culture probably has room to grow in terms of respecting the individual and his or her liberty and dignity and worth. But, you know, growing up in a Great Lakes Rust Belt car company town like Toledo, Ohio, remembering the years when jobs all got moved out of there for the bottom line and the stock options of a few key, very wealthy people, you know, that was not lost on us in Toledo, Ohio. I think our culture could move in the direction of understanding and seeing the worth, the dignity, and the rights of the community and relationship. Now, wouldn't it be something, like I said, neither way of looking at the world is always automatically superior to the other. Wouldn't it be powerful to have simultaneously both kinds of visions on the world and on relationships and people? To see, yes, the beauty and the dignity and the uniqueness of each individual, and to see their rights and their gifts that they can contribute, along with seeing the connections and the community in which they relate and move. You know, it would be like the spiritual, or theological, or moral equivalent to LASIK surgery, you know, where they adjust the cornea, the lens of the eye, to fix either farsightedness or nearsightedness. And much of the time when they do LASIK surgery, actually, they adjust one eye for farsightedness and one eye for up-close work. And when you've had that kind of surgery, I've heard people say, whoa, for the first couple of days, it's wonky and I'm pretty woozy getting used to that. But the brain finally, fairly quickly, does adapt to both kinds of vision simultaneously. And the people who've had that kind of surgery say, whoa, that is even better than when both my eyes were fixed for nearsightedness or farsightedness and my lenses just did that, being able to see both. And I think that's where Paul, in these words that we just heard, the Apostle Paul is trying to push the Corinthian Christians to develop one side of vision that is underdeveloped because of how another side is overdeveloped. I think from reading that letter to the Corinthians, that they and their culture were more like ours. That they could see and did see the worth, the value, the dignity, the rights, and the giftedness of each individual. Good for them. But they did so to such an extent that their gatherings for worship sort of degenerated into show and tell and competitive displays of individual spiritual giftedness, high power spiritual gifts that you can't overlook, like prophesying or speaking in other tongues, and so that their services were getting competitive and chaotic. And what had what was their individualistic culture was degenerating into the cult of the individual. And so Paul writes these words to exercise and strengthen their vision for relationships, community, and connections by reminding them of just where their deepest, most intimate unity and connections lie. And yes, it lies with their beliefs. Yes, that's important. Yes, it lies with their leadership. That's important. Yes, it lies with their conduct or the conduct they should have. But deep down, he's saying, there is a force, a power that unites you as one single organism, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And somewhere, almost like you can imagine something kind of like an iceberg that has multiple points sticking out of the water, but if you go down deep enough, there's one body of ice holding it all together. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ holding you together, operative by His Holy Spirit in you, such that you are different parts and pieces, yes, but of the same body, animated by His one single Holy Spirit. Last week, when I started this, I said that Christ instituted the church so that the confession, Peter's confession of who he is, would continue, that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, and it would go out to all the nations. But also Christ instituted the church so that his cause and his combat against the gates of Hades or hell would also continue all throughout the world through the church. Okay, that's true. I still believe it, but I realize in the week that I've worked on this message, I realized I left something out. And if I leave it out, it could be very dangerous. It could be a dangerous half-truth. What I didn't want to leave us with the impression that Christ instituted the church so that we would carry on his mission, his cause, his combat, and his confession by whatever power and virtue and charm and smarts and organizational skills that we have on hand by ourselves. It's not so. I don't want to leave us with the impression that we are simply charged to carry on his cause, his confession, his combat for him. These words we heard today tell us that Christ still wants to carry that on, the confession, the cause, the combat. He still wants to carry that on, but through us and for us and in us. Because we face, on the other side of that gates of Hades, an enemy who is so sly and so subtle that he can make use of the best of our talents and intentions and gifts and organizational skills and corrupt them and misuse them, just like he was doing in the church of Corinth with their powerful spiritual gifts, turning them into devices for division. It is Christ who wishes to do it through us by his Spirit living within us, uniting us in one body together. That's what I want us to understand. So what difference does that make if we look at it from that point of view? If we develop that kind of vision along with the strong vision that we usually have towards the individual, his or her dignity and worth and giftedness. Well, one thing it means is that then we would understand that our reverence and devotion and attachment and commitment to Christ can never be any stronger than our devotion and reverence and commitment to his body, the church. Because this is how we know Christ, through each other, not just within ourselves. And there's a wonderful example of that in today's bulletin and the thank you note that Steve put in, thanking all the people who offered to take him to OHSU for diagnosis and treatment and physical therapy. And all those people who offered that, we can say, yes, they have done that absolutely out of the goodness of their hearts. Can I get an amen for that, by the way? Amen. Amen. Okay. But if we have this other vision, we can also say, that's Christ working through his body. And that's how Jesus is saying to Steve, but also to every one of us here, this is how much I love you. This is how much I care for you. Even if you don't need that ride, know that it's there. Because this is how much I love you. And all of those people, you know, were then affected. Christ is expressing himself through them and through us. That's the ideas that we would see. And there's one of my favorite spiritual directors who's been dead for about 500 years. But who, you know, when I read her writings, I think, goodness, you have been reading my mail. Her name is Teresa of Avila, from 16th century Spain. And her ministry and her perceptions are so powerful that actually the Roman Catholic Church has named her as a theological doctor of the church, right up there with Thomas Aquinas and Augustine and others. And this is what she said as an abbess to all the sisters in her convent. And if we can project these words, please. She says, this is what she wrote. Christ has no body now but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes through which he looks with compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which he walks to do good. Yours are the hands through which he blesses all the world. Yours are the hands, yours are the feet, yours are the eyes. You are his body. Christ has now no body on earth but yours. So again, what I want us to remember is that same love which brought the fullness of God to this earth in Palestine 2,000 years ago in the person of Jesus of Nazareth still wants and seeks and works to be present here and among us now by that same Holy Spirit, so that individually and together we are Christ in the world. The interesting thing, speaking of language again, and I'll wrap up with this. The word for you and yours that Teresa uses here is the second person singular. In effect, it's like she's talking to each one of her sisters in that community, saying you personally, as opposed to y'all in Texas. Okay. Actually, I find that very, very helpful. I love how Texas English has that distinction between you and y'all. That would be very helpful for the rest of our dialect. So she was impressing on each individual sister her calling and opportunity to be the hands or the feet or the mouthpiece of Jesus. But she was talking to the whole community when she said that. Think of how powerful that would be if each individual in the community and the whole community together knew that or had that kind of vision to be Christ to each other and to see Christ in each other individually and together. And that, again, is why we are church. Amen.
For our response, let's turn to number 309. Please stand.
From both have spars.
Now we may gather with our King, e'en in the lowliest dwelling. Praises to God we there may bring, the wondrous mercy forth telling.
Ushers, will you come forward? Shall we pray? In gratefulness, in worship, we bring our tithes and our gifts to you, O God.
Okay, my homies, my sit-togethers, this is your opportunity to share. I like that one phrase, one finger alone cannot pick up a stick. It's good. This is time for us to share prayer concerns or praises, and we will spend some time lifting those after we've shared. Would anyone like to share? If so, please raise your hand and I'll bring you the microphone. Kathy.
I just want to say thank you to each and every one of you that remembered to pray for me through my surgery, because I've done super well. My arm is great. My doctor's pleased. And I know it wouldn't have gone this well if it wasn't for all of you. Thank you.
Good to see you here. And your battle scar doesn't look too bad. Yeah. I'm glad you're feeling good. Yeah, you bet. Anyone else like to share? We want to remember Phyllis Adams, who has been having some mini strokes, TIAs. Her daughters are with her all the time. They're hoping that these blood clots in her heart will move through her body, through the brain, but it's affecting her a little bit. So we want to remember her. They're making sure that someone is with her all the time. So I want to remember Phyllis. Ward. Happy birthday, Ward.
Yeah, it's my twin, Karen, here's birthday, too. Just a sad note from our neighborhood. Four people are dead. They're people that lived right behind us, south of our farm. And it's just remember the families in the neighborhood.
The Brimmer family? Okay, thank you. We do want to remember that. Anyone else? Carolyn?
Clark and I are hosting a guest from South Korea. He's the principal at a middle school there. Baker Prairie, where I teach, has an exchange program with South Korea, and he has been staying with us for the last few days. His name's Jung Boyong-yo.
Nice to have you with us. Anyone else? Bonnie.
Just along with what Ward said about the tragedy that happened last night or this morning, the little girl that survived is in Seth Gingrich's class, and I had her a couple years ago. So just remember the 91 community, remember Seth and I and the other teachers as we try to help all the kids through this.
Matthew.
This one will take a couple of minutes. You might remember it was almost a year ago when Becky's position with Clackamas County was terminated. And it was later in the summer where she started work out in Hood River in the Dalles. It was really exciting. It's a very good fit. And so we have a second home out there. It started out as very, very exciting, having those two homes and all that. It has worn pretty thin since then and has been stressful for both of us. And there's some other stresses over the last year. And so I have been talking at length with our Pastor Congregation Relations Commission and also with our leadership about, the stress and the drain that it has been on both of us and myself included. And so you will be getting a communication in a little bit explaining our exploration of the possibility. Well, we would like to have one home probably out there in the gorge. And so we will be looking at the possibility of diminishing my hours and my job role to be part of a team of three. When we get that other person hired, to see if that works, if we want to have me commuting in for like part of each week, but as I said, reduced hours and reduced job description, so that I might continue in partnership as we go through things like looking at membership, redoing our church organizational structure and the constitution that goes with that, and a few other things. This is entirely about the difficulty and stress of having two homes and being apart for the better part of each week. Like I said, that's worn pretty thin. It has absolutely nothing to do with any kind of issues or problems or mistreatment or anything like that here at Zion. I want you to know that the treatment and support of me as pastor here is exemplary. So it's nothing about that. It is simply how do we make this sustainable long term for us. So we ask your prayers about that. We care deeply about this community. We also care about being together in one home again. So that's kind of what we're working through, and there will be opportunity for you to consider and give some feedback on that as well.
Thank you. I want to pray for those requests that have been shared. Then I'm going to pray for Matthew and Becky. So when I do that, I'm going to ask them to just come stand with me. And I'd love for everyone to come up and surround them, but instead I'm just going to have you reach with your hands while we pray for Matthew and Becky, okay? So let's go to prayer for those requests that were shared. God, we wait before you realizing how fragile our world is and how fragile we are. But we praise you that you are our Creator and Redeemer, that you hear our pleas and our cries and our prayers, and we especially lift up this family today that are Ward and Pat's neighbors, this tragedy, the loss that they feel, the overwhelming grief. And we just ask that you, with your Holy Spirit, would be present in that family, that extended family, the survivors, the medical people, doctors, police, asking that they can minister to their needs, that you will be with 91 School and the teachers, principal staff at this time to show them how to express compassion and care and comfort to this family. We want to pray for Phyllis today, asking that you be near her. Thank you for her children that are caring for her. We ask that you would give her the strength she needs. Give wisdom to the doctors as she recovers from these many strokes. Lord, just wrap your arms around her with your love. At this time, may she know your peace. Thank you for your healing work in Kathy's surgery and recovery. Thank you that she's here with us today, that she is gaining strength. Lord, we just pray you would continue to heal her body, and thank you for the relief from pain that she is experiencing. Thank you for her doctors and her family who have cared for her. And Matthew and Becky, would you come up this time? Please extend your hands toward Matthew and Becky. Lord, thank you for Matthew and Becky's lives, for their faith in you, for the love and care that they have shown us. Thank you for their gifts, talents, and skills with which we have been blessed. Thank you for their experiences that they have brought to us. Thank you for the way they have blessed you in their faithful service to your church through the years and here at Zion. Lord, we ask you to guide us in this time of change, and we remember your presence and abounding love. We need your wisdom. Empower each of us to share openly and honestly our thoughts, to encourage humility, patience, and joy, that we might be receptive to this transition. We need your grace to be gentle with each other, to listen well, to seek to understand, to know what you hold for us as Zion. And we know that you already hold Matthew and Becky in your hands. Be with us as we seek your guiding presence. Give us your caring love and compassion as we support one another. We pray this in your name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you. Stan.
Just to clarify, the letter that Matthew referred to should be sent out by email shortly after church is over, along with a short note from leadership. So most of you get email. If you don't use email, then it's been put in the mailbox. I mean, it was put yesterday, so you get it Tuesday since there's no mail tomorrow. So you should be getting a letter from Matthew as well as a short note from leadership very soon. We also have a few copies if you would want to get it right away.
We're going to sing Jesus Be the Center as our closing. Last Sunday, I asked you to stand and move toward the center aisles. It was like the holy huddle was right there. So I like that way of expressing this song and the words. So please stand and move toward the center. Standing for the benediction.
By the living, ever-present Spirit of Jesus, you and I are the body and the face of Jesus in this world. Go in peace.
That's cool.